Well, did you know that a spider's silk is stronger than steel? So if you ever walked in a place, you know, and you're going down in your basement and some of that, and then something goes, you just go, you know, you're running into something pretty strong, actually. And I thought that was very interesting. Yeah, but as they measure the strength of things here, they have one called tensile strength, which measures the amount of stress a material is able to withstand before breaking. And so the spider's web is right up there above most steel. Not all the steel, but most steel. So it is stronger than some steel in that area. It does not break very easily. And then also there's a strength to density ratio that it is, you know, it's very thin. They say it's like 1,000 times thinner than a human hair. 1,000 times, not just 10 times, 1,000 times thinner than a human hair. And yet they got stronger than steel in that area, right? That strength to density. And then stiffness, steel, of course, has stiffness, beats the spider's silk very easily. But one thing that the spider silk has that the steel really lacks is elasticity, which is pretty important. And they say that a spider's web will stay elastic even up to low temperatures such as minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's actually pretty much Celsius, too, isn't it? If Joy was here, you know, from Canada, I think they all, both Fahrenheit and Celsius, meet at 40. So the spider's web is strong. And I know that a lot of us, the people in this world, everybody's looking for strength, some type of strength. And people draw to draw from things to gain strength. They might do it mainly from themselves and their own routines and their habits and things they think about. They try to be positive. You know, they call it positivity. They read books to help them stay positive so they can be strong that way. People exercise to be physically strong. People work their brains. They get education to get, you know, mentally strong in that area. People try to do these courses to have emotional strength, you know, to be able to care for people. All these things is good. There's a lot of goodness in that. But the issue is about human beings is this. Yeah, we can draw strength from ourselves and from other things around us and from the education and experiences. But our sin gets in the way. Our sin corrupts us and breaks us. And it's just, not just that, but just it's all the things in this world. Because we are finite. our strength is limited. Our knowledge is limited. Our niceness is limited. Yeah, all that is limited because of just who we are. But of course, we'll meet people who will deny that. They'll suppress the truth. And if you read in Romans chapter 1, you see that. See, we have the knack of just suppressing the truth when it doesn't fit where we want it. We just suppress it and say, I'm strong, but don't look at me right now. So we need the strength. And it's so interesting, listen to Mike's song and the singing, the song that was sang earlier to him, and just being, you know, what we're even in the adult Sunday school class, how it all comes together. You know, its strength is so critical. But the strength that we really need does not come from us. As we'll find out in our passage today, it's coming from the one who created us. And it's whether we're going to seek his strength above our own is the question of the day, right? And for as we see in that chapter 23 there of the 1 Samuel, we're looking at, it gets right into it, you know, boom. David has something, a big decision to make, right? He has a big decision to make. And what is he going to do? Is he going to just rely upon his own intellect, his own experience, his own, you know, how many numbers, you know, strategy and things like that? Or is he going to rely upon the one who has been delivering him so far, the one who has anointed him to be the new king, the one who has surrounded him with his protection and his family at this point, and many discontented people to come to be an army for him? So this is what we're going to be looking at, a little bit more about strength, and we're going to compare and contrast, and we're going to learn, see things that we can learn from ourselves. Because remember, the Bible was written by the power of the Holy Spirit through people, God's people, to teach us, to encourage us, to give us endurance in the Word, and to teach us so we may have hope. And if you do not have hope, then I'm glad you're here today, because I think you're going to learn some things why we have hope in the strength of the Lord. Let's pray before we continue on. Father God, thank you for this time together in your Word, and we just ask that you will just move by the power of your Holy Spirit, that this Word that you have written for us to teach us, Lord, that you'll make it come alive in us. That not only can we just listen to it, but Lord, that we can actually take it with us and actually put it into practice in our daily lives. And so we can be those who are a blessing to others, that we can be a light to others, that they will see the hope that we have, the strength that we have, and they'll want to know where it comes from. And then we can point them to you. So bless this time, Father. We just thank you for your Word, in Jesus Christ's name, and all of the people say, amen. So first of all, as we look at David, and he's making a decision whether to go, you know, the Philistines are attacking Keilah. Keilah is a border town. They're probably harvesting. Philistines are looking for food, so they're going to go after them. And so this is a, you know, a decision that David has to make. So what does he do? So we're saying, what does he do? Well, what he does, the best thing he can do, he inquires of the Lord. He had the prophet Gad there with him at that time. So he most likely talked with the prophet, and the prophet prayed, and God gave the answer, go. But then his men are going, wait a second, we go over there, we're going to get in a two-front war, because we know Saul's army is coming after us, and here's the Philistines. We don't want to get caught in between. And that is smart. I think that's really smart. I can understand that. And it's so interesting how David responded, because he could have just said, yeah, you're right, and then started writing out another strategy, or just say, oh, God, you know, not this time. Well, I'll do it later. Yeah, we'll wait. We'll wait. I don't know how many times I've said that to God. I'll wait, God, but not on you. I'll wait upon myself and when I'm ready. You know, that I'm not, yeah, that's the big thing right there. But David didn't do that. See, David just said, well, let's inquire the Lord again. And so he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, go, I'll give them to you. I'll give the Philistines to you. And they did, and he gave him victory. And one thing that we're seeing in David, his life, his tensile strength is getting stronger. See, he's becoming unbreakable, even under these most difficult circumstances of going into battle in territory where it can be dangerous, not just with the Philistines, but against Saul's army. Because where is he getting this from? Well, he's getting it from the Lord, right? It's the Lord that delivers. In fact, if we went back to chapter 17, when David was going up against Goliath, he didn't just say, I'm going to whoop you because I'm better than you, I'm stronger than you. No. I have a better strategy than you. No, this is what David realized, and I believe that he's starting to learn this, and it's starting to be embedded into his heart and his daily living. It's becoming alive in him now. It's just not something he learned and then he walked off and started doing his own thing. No, this is something that is actually impacting his life and changing, transforming him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord is with him. It's not his doing. This transformation isn't coming from his good habits and being a good boy. Mm-mm. No, it's the power of the Spirit. And listen to his words here in chapter 17 as he's going up to Goliath. He says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head." Sounds pretty good. So me, right? But listen, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Bing! Remember talking about those epiphanies? Things that just kind of, boing, come alive, and you go, oh, that's truth, that's real. Well, he's finding that. God's the one that delivers him. The tensile strength is getting stronger. And then, have you noticed? He could have just shouted down his men. He could have just said, "What are you doing? Don't you have faith? Come on." You know, he could have just railed into them. But he didn't. He didn't. He's become a shepherd king. See, his character, his strength to density ratio is getting wider. It's becoming more trustworthy. Because he cares for his men. He understands that they can get into two-front war. So he checked God for him again, with him again. He said, "God, really?" And God said, "Yeah." But he did that for his men. Wow. Wow. Trustworthiness growing. Strength growing. Being unbreakable. And then his elasticity. Because he moved out of there after he defeated Keilah and found out that Saul, you know, the Keilahites or whatever you want to call them, would probably surrender him to Saul if he came. Well, they started moving to the wilderness. Well, if you ever seen that wilderness area, it is desolate. It is not an easy place to live. It is not too many people want to live there. It didn't have much to offer them. And that's where God is moving and shaping his life to give him that elasticity that he needs to be able to flex and to move and to trust God for all of his needs. Even in this desolate wasteland of the wilderness, he's trusting God. And he gives him what's so important for a leader is resilience. Somebody that just keeps going, no matter how difficult it is, how dry it is, how hungry they are, how scared they are because of the people, the Saul going after them, or the people trying to capture them and give them up to Saul, or whatever is going on. His resilience is just growing because he's not relying upon himself anymore. See, he's caring for his men, and he's trusting the Lord. And he's seeking the Lord above all else. Just like first things first. Seeking the Lord above all else. And God shaping his life through these difficult circumstances for 10 years. No, not for a month, not for 10 days, not for a year. 10 years of running. That'll break most people. Maybe a week would break most of us. Unless we relied on someone who was stronger than us. Somebody who is always faithful, always good, who is all-powerful, the deliverer, the one that's all-knowing, everywhere present, unchanging. The great I am, the self-existent one. See, that's who he's encountering and growing in and drawn strength from. And so that's a picture of David and his strength. Well, then you turn around and you look at Saul and you get, boop, Saul. Oh, Saul started off pretty good. But boy, has Saul been deteriorating. His tensile strength has been broken. Have you noticed that? He's a broken man. The spirit was taken from him. And he was not surrendering to the Lord. In fact, he was doing exactly the opposite. He was rebelling against God, being disobedient and resisting God and actually killing God's people. His own people! As he turned to Doeg the Edomite and say, go kill these priests and then go ahead, whatever you want with the city of Nob. That's his own people. Paranoia, fear, he wants his own kingdom. Resistance, he's broken. His tensile strength, he's already broken. And then his strength to density ratio, he's not very trustworthy. I don't know how those other guys are following him. Truthfully, I don't know. I wouldn't. And actually, you know, David's brothers were in his army, but when David went down to that cave, they joined him. They were AWOL. Did you know that? They went AWOL. That's dangerous. And then now price is on their head too. There's a big thing going on here. Saul's broken. He's untrustworthy. And boy, elasticity, he has no reliance. He has no resilience at all. In fact, the kingdom that he's trying to protect for himself and his family has already been torn away from him. It has no endurance at all. And that's where Saul is. I would say he reflects the image of Satan. Have you noticed this? In constant turmoil, seeking God's anointed to kill him, manipulating others to do his dirty work, and then cowardliness, to where he just says to Doeg, do this, and he doesn't stand for anything of God at this point. Not a good place to be where Saul is. And then when you look at the people, what are the people, get what Keilah and Ziph, the people of these areas, what is their problem? Keilah, David went over there and saved them. He cared for them. Saul didn't give a rip about them. He's thinking about David. Care about Keilah, those guys, they can take care of themselves. No. David went in and cared for them. And I don't know, if I was somebody in Keilah, I'd be going, thank you, David. And hey, you're our man. We're protecting you. You're ours. You know what happened to them is this. There's two things. Anyways, I can see, and there's probably more. First of all, they feared Saul more than God, because they knew that this Saul, he's untrustworthy. We don't know what he's going to do. He just massacred Nob. Innocent people went down. Israelites, they're going to do the same to us if we don't give up David. So fear set in. Fear makes you do a lot of crazy things. You just don't see the big picture because your sight starts getting, and you start looking, the mirror comes out and you start looking at yourself. You don't see the big picture of what God's doing. And then they sinned in that they did not inquire of the Lord. When did they pray? When did they come before God and say, hey, God, Saul's coming. We got David here. What's up? You know? They rejected the anointed one. Where else in history had we seen that? A guy named Jesus walking. People were rejecting him. Not only people, his own disciples abandoned him. Key lights, burr, minus zero. Ziphites, not much better. Oh, we know where David is. Come on over here. They have the same type of fear, I got a feeling. You know, if and Saul knows that he's in this area and he's going to come, he's going to get us. Come on down, we'll help you get him. Oh, what turncoats, right? Fear does that. Sin does that. When we don't inquire of the Lord, when we don't come and remember that passage there in 1 Peter chapter 5 when it says, you know, humble yourselves, therefore, beneath the mighty hand of God. And he will lift you up in due time. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. They did not go that route. See, that's one way you can find strength. Did you know that? Are you lacking strength today? They were. There's a lot of fear. Understand, but you put 1 + 1 to equal. I mean, there could be fear there. I think they're being kind of smart. But they had a choice to make. Were they going to humble themselves? And when I talk about humbling yourself, what it is you're taking the whole focus off yourself and you're turning it to God. You're giving it, your anxiety to God. You're not trying to fix it yourself. You know, you might be able to do it for a little bit, but it's going to break. It's going to end. It's not going to be as good as what God can do. It might not happen at the same time you hope. It might happen very different than you expect. Like the guy in the roof of the in a flood in his house, and he's still praying for that boat to get him up, and the helicopter still twirling around above him with the little ladder saying, come on up the ladder. And he's still looking for the boat. Right? I'm on my way. And God's saying, here it is, man. I'm saving you. No. I got my own plan, God. See, that one way you're going to find strength is by humbling yourself beneath his mighty hand. It's not just a normal, ordinary hand. It's not a weak hand. It's not a broken hand. It's not a corrupted, sinful hand. It is the almighty, holy hand of God who created you and me. He created every heartbeat. You feel it right now? Every breath you're taking, do you feel it? That is from the Lord God Almighty. He can stop it at any moment. I just keep on hearing, reading in the internet, all these, you know, young people, healthy and strong, they're dying. One thing or another, they die. It's not an age thing. God can call us at any time. He is the creator. And he has us here for a reason, for a purpose. And he has you living to this age, 62, for some reason. He didn't have to have me live. He could have taken me out many times. He can take me home very often. He has a plan. We can't forget that. And another thing, if you want to draw strength, not only do you need to humble yourselves under his almighty hand, if you want to be strengthened for the day, another thing we need to do is to wait upon him. To wait upon him. And that means seek him first. And his righteousness, right? Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added unto you. Yes. Yes. So, lacking a little strength today? I mean, first of all, I just want to warn you, do you feel a little Saul in you today? Huh? Do you feel a little angry? You want to criticize? You want to get after your brother or sister in Christ or somebody who doesn't even know Christ? You just want to lay into them. LGBTQ? Ooh-yah, crush! Right? Don't we want to do that? But we learned this morning, right, Sue? We're here to love them. We're supposed to crush them with love, not with hatred, because the enemy is already doing that. So let's do that. Let's just embrace the people. We don't have to say you're good. You know, just love them. Invite them into our home to love them, because they have nowhere else to go. Because when are they going to ever find Christ if they don't see it through you? If they don't see it through you, where are they going to get it? All right? So wait upon the Lord and allow him, you know, just to call, and he'll say, yeah, what the law of love. It's the law of love. The Ten Commandments goes down to the two commandments, the greatest command: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors as yourself. And then as you all that, you go to Romans 13, it says, the fulfillment of the law is love. Did you know that? It's not weapons. It's not rules. It's love. Love gives us freedom. His perfect love is what drives out all what? Fear. See, when you become, so if you feel a little Saul in you right now, and yes, you will, because you're human like me, because I know I have Saul, then that's when you got to get me under God's mighty hand. Have him examine your heart. Where am I? Why am I feeling like this? Why do I want to crush these guys? Why? Then you can get real with him, and he'll speak into your heart. I guarantee you. And then, do you feel a little bit of Ziphite in you? A little Keelite in you? And you're just kind of going, I'm done here. Oh, the pressure's too much. I don't know Christ. Or, not now, Jesus. I want to do my own thing. I got to do this by myself. You know, the fear comes on you, and somebody's saying, are you a Christian? And you're going, oh, and people in Russia, or even those times when they're going into places into churches, and they would come in as spies, and whoever stood up and they were Christians, they would take them out. I don't know where they ended up. But they would stand up and say they're Christians. Standing firm in your faith, right? This society wants to mold us, to change us, to transform us, and to be like them, because they want to feel like they're okay. I want to sin, but I got to bring in my buddies here that say they're Christians so I can feel a little bit better, because yeah, we can do it together. We're going to do it in numbers. Big numbers is better instead of being lonely. Right? So the fear sets in and it just stirs up. But we got to say, we got to turn off the key light, the Ziphite in us, and just say, no, I'm Christ. I don't shrink away. I stand firm in what I know about Christ, and he's my deliverer. He's my savior. I'll live and I'll die for him. For God's glory. And then I encourage you to be a David, okay? Watch out. You know, you feel those things, the Keilite and the Ziphite and the Saul in you. You got to just come to the Lord and have him examine your heart where you're at. But now I encourage you to be a David, to have that unbreakableness found in Christ. Unbreakable. He was unbreakable on the cross. He couldn't break his bones. He couldn't do anything beyond what the Father would allow. Unbreakable. And then he's trustworthy. Let's be trustworthy people. You know, where people will come to us because they know that we'll love them. We're not going to shoot them now. We're not going to crush them. Stuff that. We'll crush them with love. But let's do that. Let's be trustworthy. Shepherd kings. Let's be those shepherds. And then let's be resilient and just stand firm in faith and be strong and courageous and do all things in love. Resist the things of the world. Stand firm and know where our hope comes from. See, we need to speak hope, because remember what Jonathan did? David was pulling out his hair, probably a little bit going, man, I got my men, I got Saul, I got Philistines, I'm in this wilderness, we're barely staying alive. And here comes Jonathan. What does he do? Oh, we're getting you. No. Don't be afraid, David, don't be afraid. Because of what? Well, let's see. Don't be afraid. Let me see here. Let me see if I can find what he's saying to him. And Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel. Ooh, thank you. You really? Yeah. Thank you for reminding me that. And I will be second to you. Oh, it'd be great, Jonathan. It'd be so great to have you right at my right hand. What a duo. What an awesome duo we'll be. Even my father Saul knows this. So let's be encouragers. There's a lot of people around us who need refuge, who are seeking refuge. So if we're showing the strength of the Lord within us, you know, that love and that resilience, the trustworthiness, Lord, that gracious strength, that dependence upon God, they're going to come and seek refuge. They're going to seek it. They're going to come to us, and we're going to go like this. I'm not your refuge. Here, Jesus is your refuge. He's the rock. He's the salvation of all. And then their hearts will open. Christian or non-Christian, doesn't matter. Just speak to them. Listen, speak life, speak hope. Speak hope. That's what Jonathan's doing here. Speaking hope. That David, he needed hope. If anybody, he needed hope right here. And so I end it with this. So there's some warnings. Remember, you're feeling things. You got to go to the Lord and be like David. Be like Jonathan. Be the encourager, right? Go out there and encourage people to help people find strength in the Lord. And we'll end it with Isaiah, this wonderful, beautiful passage in Isaiah. In 40, chapter 40, it says this. In 28, it says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Ooh, that's good to hear, huh? Even youths. Where's our youths? Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, and you can replace that hope with wait. And those who wait in the Lord will renew their, what? I can't hear you because I don't think you believe it. Really? What? Strength. Will renew your strength. He's renewing it. You're not renewing it. The pizza that you just ate, the ice cream didn't do it. The education and all the experience and all that stuff didn't do it. No, he will renew your strength. They will soar. We will soar on wings like eagles. Wouldn't it be sweet? No more traffic. No more roads. No more potholes, right? They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Father God, thank you for your love for us, and thank you for this encouraging word and challenge too. Help us to be David, just like a David, and help us to be like a Jonathan. Lord, those who are trusting and relying upon you. Lord, help us when we're feeling the Saul and the Zephite and the Kelite going, stirring up in our hearts. Help us just to come before you and repent and just to seek, just allow you to examine us and see where we're at and what we need to repent from, turn from, so we can put on Christ, so we can give hope, so we can point to you for those who need a refuge. Father God, help us, empower us, send us forth in this for our families, for our co-workers, for our neighbors, for our nation, for the world. Use us. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's precious name, and all of his people say, amen.